If I had been better, I would have had my dad come up and sing His Eyes on the Sparrow, because that's one of my favorites from him. But I'll do better next time, man. I'll do better next time.
Well, we'll just have to do it in a couple
weeks. There you go. There you go. Right. See, it's not all on me. Well, today let us look to the book of Psalms. I won't hold you too long. Last week, Jason did an excellent job. Yes, round of applause. It was so good to know that you all are in good hands when I'm not here. But I want to read from Psalm 62 this morning. Psalm 62, I'm going to read verses 5 through 8. Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8. And it reads as thus. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Verse 5, yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Father God, we turn to You now in this moment, seeking a word, seeking a message that will help edify our lives, help bring us closer to You, help give us inspiration and purpose as we seek to do Your work through our life. Lord, I ask that You consecrate me now by the power of Your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in Thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. If I had a title today, I guess it would be Rest in Peace. Rest in Peace. A lot of our lives, especially this time of year, summer comes, and we all want to take a little vacation. Weather's nice, we want to get away. And so we try, as best we can, to rest. A little R&R. However we do that, we try to relax from our work, our schedule, the busyness of life. Try to find a little space where we can just unwind, as we like to say. But like life, a lot of it is used hurrying up even to try and rest. You're trying to plan it out, schedule, to make arrangements, to get to where we're going, and finally get unpacked and get things arranged. And at some point in all of that, maybe we slice out a little rest where we don't think about anything. We're not concerned with what's going to happen tomorrow or what happened yesterday. Maybe we hash out a little rest. In your own life, I'm sure, just going to work can be an ordeal of hurrying up to get dressed, to get going, only to wait and sit in traffic. Maybe you've tried to get tickets to your favorite show, and you had to hurry and get to the place to wait in line. We hurry up just to wait. And so God is looking at us in our busyness, in our hurriedness, And he's looking and wondering, when are we going to rest in him? Well, today I want to quickly look at three ways that maybe we can truly find rest in our lives. The first is to deny. The second is to depend. And finally, to desire. Do we have to first deny ourselves? And we kind of understand that being Christian, this idea of denying ourselves, right? We have things that we want, things we want to do that maybe don't are in line with our beliefs, our Christian beliefs. And so we try to deny ourselves, right? Try not to overindulge or do the things we used to do. We try to deny ourselves. Well, in that denying, we look to the scripture and we find the writer writing this psalm of his own kind of denial, that he's denying himself, not necessarily from something specific, but more so he's denying himself so that he can find God. He's telling himself, it's not about me, but it's really more about God. It's about what God is going to do with me and through me. And that's a hard lesson we try to learn. Christ even said it to Peter. When he told him, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And I'm sure in the moment, Peter was like, it's all about me. I knew I was special. I knew you loved me more than the rest. But that's not what he was saying. He wasn't saying, Peter, you're my favorite. He was saying, it's your faith in me. It's your belief in me. It's your ability to put me first among everything else. That's what I'm looking for. And that's what we find in this psalm, where the writer is saying, God, it's not about me. My faith, my trust, my everything is in you. And I love the way he starts it. I wanted to start it there rather than the first verse, because it's in the fifth verse where he says, yes, my soul, find rest in God. All these other things that we try to do to find happiness, find a sense of being content. I feel fulfilled, but we never really do. No matter what we do, we have to do it again and again and again. There's no satisfaction to this flesh. It's always in need of something. If you don't believe that, I can show you my kids. Because they're always asking me for something. They need to eat. They need to watch something. They need to get to something that they really have no business getting to. But there's always this need of doing something else. In my own life, I'm always on to the next thing. I'm never happy just where I am. I can do something, I get it done, and on to something else. What's next? I need another challenge. I couldn't even live in the same place. I don't think I lived in the same place longer than 3 years most of my life. See, my mother's laughing. She knows it's the truth. Because it's always something else. What's next? But the psalmist says, my soul, find your rest and find it in God. And this is why our faith is our rock. It is the foundation of our belief system. Faith is both a duty and our comfort. Our faith requires our soul to wait upon God, to rest in knowing that we don't have to lean on our own understanding, but be gladly, cheerfully, and perceive our issues, our challenges as directed by God's will and by God's wisdom. When we acquiesce in and accommodate ourselves to all the dispensations of His providence, knowing that He is guiding our life. When we truly, truly believe that, when we know that, then we can patiently accept His satisfaction. We can have fulfillment and deliverance through His righteousness and His goodness. Regardless of what's going on around us, if we don't perceive the negativity, if we don't perceive it as being something that's coming against us, but rather this is part of God's plan. So let me have faith and walk through it. Then we can find rest. But we have to be disciples of not just our life and our faith, but what we allow inside to corrupt us. See, He is our refuge, right? He is our rock, our fortress. We will not be shaken. Well, if we're not going to be shaken, then we can't allow things inside to shake us up. What happened Friday, that could be something that would maybe cause us to just go inside and lock the doors. I'm not going out for a while. This world is too crazy. I don't trust what's going on. But we can't be shaken by this world. Good news, bad news, it's all indifferent, because what matters is what we allow in, and that should be the foundation of our faith in Christ. I was trying to teach Micah this kind of lesson a couple weeks ago. Don't mean to pick on you, I didn't know you were going to be here, but you know, you're here. But it's this idea of what we perceive and how we perceive, what we observe. And I was telling her, because she was in her class, and, you know, being in class, she gets distracted. Things going on, I get distracted, right? That's what television does to us. That's why commercials are only 30 seconds long, because they know they can't hold you but so long. But in that, we have to understand that we can't just keep rushing through things. What is coming in? Are we aware of what we're being fed? Right? The commercial comes on and there's a big, beautiful burger there. It looks all pretty and shiny. I'm not even hungry, but now all of a sudden I got a craving for some ground beef. I don't know what just happened. But what comes in? How is that affecting us? Are we guarding what comes in? Do we understand it? And so in telling her, I was like, we have to kind of meditate. And what is this meditation? Does it mean sitting somewhere and saying om? Not necessarily. But it does mean being aware of what you're thinking, what's racing through your mind. And don't just be a victim of what's coming in, but be the observer of what you're observing. What is it that I'm thinking? How is my thinking leading me to different conclusions? How is that making me upset, making me sad, making me happy, making me lustful? How are all these things? What is going on in my mind? So don't just be part of your mind, but sit back and observe your thinking. Amen? I know it's a hard concept to understand. I could probably preach on that all by itself. But we have to observe what we're thinking, because then we understand what's coming in. And we understand that our faith is the rock of our moving forward. And it helps us to depend on what God is doing. Verse 7 says, "My salvation and my honor depend on God." See, His salvation was the principal matter of His expectations. So we let God be our expectation. The Holy Writer says, if God will save my soul, then everything else, I'll let Him do whatever it is He pleases. And what he's saying is all this other stuff that's going on, all these highs and lows, they don't really matter. They come and they go. But my soul is eternal. So I want to make sure that my soul is claimed by God. I want to make sure that my salvation is nestled in my belief in God. So no matter what else is coming at me, no matter what else is happening, I know that that eternal part of me is rest assured in my belief. I trust in him at all times. Trust in him. He says, trust in him at all times, you people. Because he knows how hard-headed we are. He knows that we don't believe easy. We're skeptics. We want to do things our way. But even in doing that, we must trust. We must have an habitual confidence in God at all times. We must live a life of dependence upon him. We must so trust in him at all times so that we don't put any confidence in ourselves or in any creature or any thought or any other idea outside of God. We trust in him upon every emergency to guide us when we are in doubt, to protect us when we are in danger, and to supply us when we are in want, to strengthen us for every good work and every good word that comes out of our mouths. Sounds like a lot, but it's this idea of surrendering, giving him place, putting him first in our life, trusting that he's always going to be there. It's a hard thing to do because we're conditioned to trust on ourselves, to believe in just in ourselves. But if we look to him, hold to him, trust on him, he'll guide you through whatever's going on. Memorial Day weekend, we were out at the bay in Ocean View. We don't go to the beach much, but because Katie and Nick live at the bay, we go to the bay on Memorial Day. So we were out on the bay and we had the kids all out, and it's a great thing. We do it every year, and as the kids have gotten older, it's gotten a little easier. I don't have to chase them around or put them on a leash or tie them up in a tent. You know, I can kind of let them roam around now. They act like human beings. They listen. And so we were out at the beach, and they're playing in the water, and I walked down and was just kind of standing there with them. And Eliana wants to hold my hand, you know, because she doesn't go too far in the water. She just kind of gets her feet wet a little bit. So she grabbed my hand, and by holding my hand, it gave her the confidence to go out a little further. So we went out a little further, and she gets there, and then she'll kind of go back and go forward and go back. And so Ava sees this going on, and like any good sibling, she's not going to let her sister have all the fun. So she comes over and like, hey, Dad, what are you doing? Let me get some of that, you know. So she grabs my other hand. And so I have both of them, and we're walking out into the water. And I go out a little further, because now that they're together, they both feel a little more confident. You know, Eliana sees Ava and they see each other. So they're like, yeah, come on, let's go. And we're going out a little further. And we get to the point where they can't really stand. And now they're like, uh-oh. So now they're clutching my hands. And they're grabbing on to my arms and holding on. And so I pull them up and we're kind of bouncing and playing in the water. And that fear just turned into a playful thing. And isn't that how we are? Right? As we step out into the heavy waters, maybe we start off just kind of holding God's hand, just saying, Lord, just walk with me. Things are good, but I don't know what's going to happen. But as life waves crash down on us, we got to hold on a little tighter. We got to truly trust that he's going to be there, and he's going to hold us up as the waves get higher and higher. So that we're not overwhelmed, we're not drowning, we're not getting slapped in the face, but But he keeps us. He lifts us above the situation. And finally, our desire. The verse says, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. This pouring out of our heart, it kind of goes back in Samuel. They had a ritual where they would draw water and pour it out before the Lord. And on that day, they would fast and they would confess their sins. But they were pouring out all the issues of life, things that disturb them. And God is asking us if we can pour out our hearts to him. Because he's a place of trust. We probably can't do that with everybody. It's hard to share the real issues of our lives. My wife is masterful at getting me to talk about things. And I use that word not facetiously. I mean, she is a master of it. Because I don't like to talk about it. I'd rather just move on. Let's on to the next thing. But God is saying that true, like, you can trust me. I know it already, what's going on. So pour it out to me. And this is what happens, though. It's not just our issues that we end up pouring out, but when we get past that, we turn that into a praise. Amen? Our negativity is transformed into a positivity. Because we say not just, Lord, help me, but then we say, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for coming through for me one more time. Thank you for showing up in my life again when I didn't know how I was going to make it through. That's the pouring out that he wants. He doesn't want us to just hold it in and worry. That destroys our body, destroys our mind, makes us go away from people. He says, no, come to me and be full in who you are. Watch how I'll move in your life. Watch how when you say what it is that you're really concerned about, when your heart is open to me and I can feel you, I can fill you with my spirit. And that gives us the strength to carry on. And isn't that what we're all looking for today? The strength to carry on, knowing that God is with us. So as the band comes forward, he finishes by just saying simply, you are my refuge. You are my refuge. It is that protection that God has given to each and every one of us. Knowing that things in life are going to happen. The devil's busy. Life is full of chaos and confusion. We can't always predict what's going to happen. But within that, we serve a Redeemer.